Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location once again to where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help for men. It's about having clean glasses, because I just cleaned mine and Duke is cleaning his in the studio with me today. Again, Duke. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Thank you.
It's always good to be anywhere on a day like today. We got a topic today. We're going to talk about this because sometimes it's, and we've mentioned this and we've chatted with other co-hosts. We brought this up at one time or another, but it's about joy. Joy versus happiness, joy of the Lord. Why don't we desire joy? And if we do, do we really have it? Is it something that, do you know that you have it? Or is that happiness instead? Well, we're going to kind of discuss that thing and kind of just see where it lies and see where you how you feel about it after it's all done. But anyway, in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things in with a little bit of encouragement. And so, look at he's pointing to me, so you go.
I know you have one, brother.
You know, I do have one. I do have one. And one of the things I want to just mention is, you know, yesterday we had a family. We tried to get all the family together at times. And we're very blessed because we have all five of our children local. That means all of our grandchildren are here also.
Wow.
And so when there's when we're all together, there's 19 of us. And so that's a very cool thing to be able to have. In today's world, you know, when kids leave the nest, sometimes they go to other parts of the country and or the world for that matter. And to get everybody together at one time, very challenging, but it's very special. And as ours is when we have guys, all the guys together and gals too, you know. And here's where my encouragement is. There was a time in my life where I never actually thought that I would reach the age of 30, much less be double that, and have the things that are in my life today. That the enemy had me in such a place of darkness and despair, where there was only hopelessness, okay, and nothing else. And as a result, and I'm going to say as a result of seeking the Lord, who happened to be, in what I consider, in my own experience, the last thing, the last place for me to go, okay? I had given and tried everything that I could in my own power to try to make my life right, to be able to have what it I believed was what was intended for me as a man, okay? And yet, I failed utterly. Because of my own weaknesses and my own pride, okay? So as a result of, here I am, 64 years of age, looking at my life today with all those experiences that are, of course, behind me, because they wouldn't be an experience if they weren't behind me, all right, that all of a sudden helped to create what I've got today. And I got to tell you, it had very little to do with my power. It had a lot to do with my willingness to submit, but it had nothing to do with my power. To be able to have a family, the way that I'm a part of, is just huge. And the impact that God has, not only in my life, but in the lives of my children and the lives of those people that are not only them, but the people they influence, yes, their children and their friends, and et cetera, et cetera. It is a ripple effect, you know?
Amen.
But the one that needs to get all the glory is God. God the Father. He sent his Son down here so that I would be have an opportunity to be able to have a relationship with them, with him, to be able to have a relationship with everyone else, and to be able to do what he wants. And brother, I just encourage you, no matter where you're at, no matter what's going on in your life, that there is a purpose and a reason for it, and you don't have to know what that is right now. You just have to get to that place of being willing to trust in God just for today. And as a result of doing that, our lives begin to change. Does that make it easy and everything becomes okay? Not necessarily. You know what? Nowhere in there does it say that we're going to end up having to be happy, joyous, and free in a sense. You know, this is going to be a challenge because we are geared and wired to be mighty men of God. And that means that there's going to be a battle. And you're in this thing. You're either in it or you're not in it. If you're in it, brother, we're just here to encourage you that, hey, carry on. You know, just keep moving forward. Keep submitting to God. And he will give you everything that you need to be able to get through what you're going through this day. It may not be the way you want it, but it may be the way that he wants it. And who wouldn't want the creator of all things to have it his way? Because you know what? His way is always better than mine.
Amen.
Always has been. So there you go. A little encouragement. So
well, and that segues well into today's topic about joy. Because just what you described, oftentimes you wonder, where does the motivation come from for a man to seek that alternate venue? I mean, when you were living before, you were happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you weren't happy, you wouldn't have been drinking and partying and whatever it was you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was a false happiness, we know. But even at that time, you didn't know what real joy was,
yeah,
necessarily.
It was fleeting.
Yeah.
In other words,
it was temporary.
It was just there. It felt good, and that's what I kept looking for. Man, I got to stay busy because my happiness is always fleeting. It's always leaving me. I get it, and it's gone. It's kind of like,
it's like something that men do that's very brief and fleeting. They think it's satisfying, but
combustion.
It has, yeah. Isn't that one of the lies of the enemy that the enemy will put before us things that we think will make us joyful or happy, but they're temporary.
Yes.
They are temporary. And when we find joy or discover what that is, it starts to open up some real floodgates.
You know, this thing that where we're at right now, I think it's real important that we search our own hearts. I search my own hearts. Everything that I look for to fulfill me, again, didn't have what it took. It would be like, because you're a mechanic, in a sense, I guess the analogy I would use is that, wow, you're supposed to have oil in this engine. Well, I didn't have any oil, so I put water in the engine, and I put plenty of it. And the liquid, that should be good enough for it to run.
Lubricating water,
you would
think.
You know. But it doesn't work. And that's what I was doing. I was putting the wrong stuff into my life, thinking that if I just get more of this, you know, because this, I mean, everyone else drinks it, and why wouldn't it work in this? And I didn't have the knowledge. I didn't know that I needed to have the precise item to go in there, and it was oil, not water, that needed to go in this.
No, and you know, as we go through, navigate through our daily lives, those signals we get, about where to find that.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I get the good oil, or how come things aren't running smoothly?
Right.
You know, I think that's where we get to, like you said, in your own experience. There came a time in your life that you went, wait a minute, is this how I be happy? Because, you know, Raul, most everything that we do, or at least that I do, I'm seeking an experience of good, not bad, right?
Right.
So I want to be happy.
Right.
And seeking that happiness, the happiness that the world projects to us is different than the biblical happiness. As a matter of fact, I started doing a little bit of a search, some of the listeners could do this, is I Googled joy and looked for the difference between joy and other happy emotions, let's say. And here's what I found is that as I looked for that, each definition of joy kept leading back to biblical. I'm going, what? You can't have joy in the world? So it caused me to look deeper into this joy. Well, a joy, I guess I could say, to me has been it's the biblical happiness. It's not available out in the world in the way that it is. Matter of fact, I read one brief, dissertation on it. It says, joy is something entirely different from happiness. Joy, in the biblical context, is not an emotion. There's a big difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is an emotion and it's temporary. Joy is an attitude of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that so much of our trust that you talked about?
Yes.
It goes to that biblical perspective, embracing that.
And, you know, and yet we are brought up in a certain sense. We love when we're around people. I mean, who doesn't love to laugh? I mean, seriously, when there's something that you're not laughing about somebody's failure or anything. I'm not talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about just a true laugh of that gut that goes down deep, where you just, man, this was so funny, just or whatever it might have been. Those are once again fleeting. They really are, because all of a sudden it's like you are very happy, I should say. Okay, and you're out of that situation. Now you're going on, and you remember it, but you don't have that all the time. Okay,
but we seek it.
We seek it.
Yes,
and that's a big part of it, where the Bible talks about having the joy of the Lord, right? Of being able to knowing that. Throughout in the Old Testament, it talks about it. In the New Testament, it talks about it. Everywhere you are, as a matter of fact. Go ahead.
Well, here's Luke 15:7 says, all heaven is joyful when a person accepts God's provision of salvation. Joyful. Acts 8:8, the people of Samaria were joyful as they heard the gospel and saw God's power in healing sick. Acts goes on. Jewish believers rejoiced when they heard of the work of the Holy Spirit in saving Gentiles.
Yes.
This is all joy of spiritual salvation, deliverance.
Right.
Joy, 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 joy.
And that's the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
That is with
yes.
it. Because truly you know that as a result of, no matter what we're going through in our lives, that to try to find, consider it pure joy, my brother James says.
Yes.
Right? That when you're going through trials of various kind, okay? And the fact is that, okay, how do you find the joy in this challenge? Well, it's a matter of looking at it. And really getting your head wrapped around it. Yes. Does that mean that everything is supposed to, I'm supposed to be joyful about everything? Is nothing going to surprise me or get me upset? Well, it's not about that. It's like you asked me this morning. I said, how's Raul doing this morning? I said, you know, I got the joy of the Lord in here. But not that doesn't mean that everything in my life is okay.
Right.
You know, with so many things. No. I've got to remember, I have an enemy. Right? Who's going to try to rob that joy, try to steal it from me.
Yes.
Okay? And that comes from different things, whether it be discouragement, okay, or inability to accomplish something, or and accepting people, places, and things the way they are, you know, because they're not the way I think they ought to be. You know, it's not about my little world. See, it's not about me.
No, and you know, that perspective, as we search for that happiness, I got to tell you, what I didn't recognize when I first started looking at the prospect of being happy through Christianity or through God, and you know, starting mm-hmm. to embrace all that, I will admit there was one thing that drew me to that venue. It wasn't as much a weakness of I don't know what to do. It was more of recognizing there were people that seemed happier.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know it was joy of the Lord. I didn't know that even in the fiery trial James talks about, that these people were joyful. I didn't know what was going on in their lives. All I knew is it seemed like those folks, by and large, seemed to be happier even when junk was going wrong.
Right, right.
And I didn't realize what that joy was until I started seeking it.
Yeah. You know, so often I used to hear this a lot, and I know that other men have heard it, that, you know, knowing Jesus is just a crutch. That means that you are not able to do life on your own. You can't do it your
way.
Another
lie. Yep.
Just another, it's just a crutch. You're relying on this entity that may not even be real. And of course, we hear it in different ways. I'm not going to even speak like that. But the fact is that, you know, if anything, there was another saying that you're just brainwashed through a lot of this stuff, okay, type of thing. Now, I got to tell you, you know, a lot of that stuff, I used to even say it myself before I was a follower.
Me too.
I said it to these other
guys. To discourage guys, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But in a sense, they're absolutely right. I needed a brainwashing. I needed a crutch. Because I kept looking for a crutch. Because all the things I was looking for in life was something that was going to fill this hole in my gut. You know, to take away the pain of memories that I was hoping would go away. Of all the experiences that I've had that I wish I hadn't had, you know, but they were there. Of wishing, once again, that, you know, I was born in a different situation. Yes. That I had different parents or a different family or in a different location. You know, I was never satisfied with my life. And that if I wanted a life that was satisfying, I'd have to go out and find what that was. But I didn't know what I was looking for.
There you go. There you go. I just talked with a man this weekend that was exactly the case. As I described joy, and he described what it was that he was seeking in life, to be happy, he didn't get it. He, as I described it, he says, well, that's different.
Yeah.
He didn't know what it looked like.
Yeah.
No one had ever showed him.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's continue talking about this sort of thing. And when it comes to joy, or, you know, that do we seek to find other people who are joyful to have the same thing that they have? Do we try to make their deal work in our lives so that we would have the same joy? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Are you happy with your speed of internet service? Whether it's your home connection that's a concern, or whether the internet service at your business is less than ideal, StarTouch Broadband Services may well be your answer. StarTouch is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider since 1998, and they are rapidly becoming the choice of high-speed internet service for both homes and companies all over Washington State. If you're looking for a super-fast connection, StarTouch has the affordable answer. The business class wireless broadband packages offered by StarTouch provide speeds incredibly faster than T1 speeds, from 3 megabytes per second up to 1,000 megabytes. Check out StarTouch at their website, startouch.com, and get on board with no-hassle high-speed internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services.
I keep chasing the wind instead of chasing your love. I'm screaming out your name. Don't let me fall on my face. I've got a busted heart. I'm in need of a change. Oh, yeah, I'm desperate for grace. Oh, hold on to me. Take hold of me.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and
you know, you had said something here. You'd referred to James, the joy thing, and I just wanted to bring that up again. James 1:2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance finishes its work, so you may be mature and complete." Anyway, the whole preface there is, consider it pure joy when you face trials.
Yes.
And so when we face the trials, that's not where we usually go.
Yes.
I mean, that's not where we used to go.
Mm-hmm.
It was all about, how can I fix this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it'll go right to that worldly thing, and here we are chasing our tails trying to find that happiness again.
Well, see, once again, it's because there's been a change in us. that's where we're able to have this joy, that there's been a change that has taken place in us, that all of a sudden we're able to, we have a new set of glasses that we can actually. Now, I use readers today, as you do, and I remember when all of a sudden my eyes were so tired, in a sense that, you know, 100s did not work any longer for me. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody said, try these 125s, right?
Yeah.
And for those of you who have readers, you understand what that means. That means a little stronger lens. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, man, so much better. But that, you know, I was happy for that. But then I started thinking, oh, my goodness. That means my eyes are getting worse or deteriorating in a sense. And yet I've got to get stronger ones as time goes on, I should say. My point being is that there was something that could take place, and there's an operation you can have to be able to repair and so on and so forth. But you know what? That is getting down to the root of the problem. And really what I want to be able to do is just, I can't afford that, don't want to have to go there. But my analogy here, why I use the eyeglasses, is kind of like this thing of accepting the Lord, accepting Jesus not only as my Savior but as my Lord. And all of a sudden, when I know that I've done that, and the promises start from the Bible of what takes place as a result of submitting and surrendering to Him and accepting Him as the manager of my life, then all of a sudden, my life starts to change. Now I truly have in me the joy of the Lord. I just have to acknowledge it, because now I've got these promises that will come true in my life also. Where all of a sudden I realize, as an example, that where it talks about, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, that there is no temptation to man that's going to happen to me that's unique to me. That God is faithful, that in all things, okay, He will show me a way out, okay? And I'm sitting there going, now that's a promise I want to be able to acquire. I want to know that when I'm tempted that there is a way out of this temptation, because I've heard, all right, as a believer, whether new or old, it doesn't matter, that temptation is not going to go away. It's always going to be here. If anything, it's the closer we strive to seeking God, the stronger the temptations become and the more frequent, right?
Yes, yes.
And as a result of that, we start to feel like we're weakened. But He gives us the strength. He gives us everything that we need. And those are the promises I want in my life. The only way of being able to get that is to get to that place of totally, in my mind, in my heart, of submitting to Him. Not just saying it. Not just wishing it. Saying, is this good enough? It's kind of like having, you know, just part of the key. I got the key in the lock, and all I have to do now, why isn't the door opening? Well, because I have to turn the key, okay? And you get
well,
my
therein
point.
Goes part of where you just jumped from having no joy, no real joy, to what it looks like to have it. The journey in between is where a lot of the listeners are right now. That is, we're able to say, here's what it looks like, because we weren't there and now we are. And I got to tell you, brothers, listeners, and this fellow I was talking to just a couple of days ago, the only reason that I brought up this topic of joy mm-hmm. and the biblical perspective of that is because I don't know any other successful method other than embracing Jesus Christ and the truth of the Scriptures to get to that place. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it so bad for this guy, that's where I went.
Yes.
I went right for the juggler of joy, I guess, and say, you know what, brother, you just want to be happy. Here's what that looks like. Had no vision of that. Mm-hmm. So to hear the revelation of you, that's like this guy, or like I was. Now, that to get that place where we can find pure joy in the trials,
yeah,
that really being a prospect of the heart, yeah. For each one of us, it's a different journey, is it not?
Yeah. And the key is that of knowing and trusting in God.
Amen.
I mean, because, I mean, really, it's about, okay, I'm going to take this step. You know, it's kind of like we used to jump off cliffs near in a river in Arizona, just outside of Phoenix on the Verde River. We used to, until they, got rid of the cliffs. They actually blew them up so that nobody could, because there were too many accidents and, sure. and casualties that took place as a result of it. Totally get that. But when you're 17 years of age and, you know.
You're bulletproof.
Nothing like that's going to happen to me, you know. But anyway, in doing that, I remember the first time jumping off the cliff into the river. And everyone else is doing it, and there, and you've got peer pressure and so on, et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't really want to do that. I mean, I wanted to be there and enjoy all the fun that everybody was having, but I didn't
Not
want
the
to
risk.
Have, yeah, I didn't want to have to climb. As I'm climbing up there, I'm going, I don't see anybody climbing back down this way, you know? As we're climbing on the backside of it till you get to the cliff, and then all of a sudden, you know, this is the only way out is. Well, sure, you can go that way, but it's going to be embarrassing if you did that. Look at all the people that are here, et cetera, et cetera. So you get on that cliff, and you get ready, and you're sitting there, and you're making a decision. Well, you jump, and you finally almost want to take it back, but it's too late.
Yes.
But in the case when it comes to trusting God, you make that decision. You don't know what's in store for you. You don't know the blessings that are going to come as a result of letting go of what is behind that you're holding on to let go of and to finally just jump in and allow that grace and all that love from our Father to encompass our lives, okay, and to keep us. Now, I know you're sitting there and thinking, well, wait a minute, you're giving an analogy of jumping into a river where there's, you know, rocks and so on and so forth. No, those are all fear and lies of the enemy. Saying that you're not going to be able to do this. You're going to get hurt. You're going to drown. You're giving your life up. You shouldn't do this.
Got to go back to trust that you've said a couple of times here. Yes.
And these are all the lies. Yes. But as a result of jumping in there, then you find, and all of a sudden, when I hit that water, I'll never forget. I hit that water. I wasn't in the rapids right away. I was down the road. Or down the ways away. So it wasn't like it was a huge thing. But the key is you have all these fears and things that if you did this sort of thing, man, you could hit a stick that's sticking up. You can't see it. And, you know, all these things, right? But when you do it and you're in there, you go, yes, right? You just, you're getting up and screaming like everybody else was screaming with a certain excitement, right?
Yes.
And so the same thing here.
You overcame the fear.
Yes, and by making that decision to not try to do it on my own, okay, I'm talking about my relationship with the Lord, I'm trusting in Him that He's going to take care of me. He's going to give me everything I need. That doesn't mean I don't do anything. I just sit back and wait for Him to get me a job, wait for Him to send me a check in the mail, wait for Him to, you know, put the right person in my life and for somebody to take care of. No, that's not what it is. God's not our servant. Jesus is not our servant. We're His servant, okay? And as a result of that, our lives change for the better.
Yes. And it's a discovery, is it not? I mean, wow, if there's one thing it seems like most of us are doing, it's trying to figure out how to be happy, how to relax, enjoy, whatever it is. But we know, and the listeners have got to know, that when you seek that joy of the biblical joy that it talks about, you have a fulfillment that you can't describe. I think that's part of the reason that I get passionate when I'm talking with a man or somebody else about, and you see that they're just drugged down. Like a lot of the listeners might just be feeling, oh, this is kind of a bummer or things just aren't going well. Yes. And that's the farthest thing from your mind might be joy. But I'll tell you, when you're on that journey, and you can surround yourself with the senior pastor or your brothers and sisters or others that you can talk about this with, there's those that do have the joy. Yep. And sometimes I really have to pray for that wisdom and that joy where I'm not feeling particularly joyful, but I know that through that trial, I know that there's something. I know that my Father is not going to give me a rock when I ask Him for a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
And so I have that trust, and no matter what the situation is, there's going to be some joy in it. Mm-hmm. And you ask God to show it to you, and He reveals it to you, little by little.
Well, you know, when it comes to, and you know, we are not saying that if you're happy, that that's not good. All we're trying to get across is that there's more to the happiness. When there's that joy that is actually fulfilling, that knowing that no matter what takes place, I still have the love of the Lord, and He's got my best interest at heart, And if my relationship, if I draw closer to understanding him and seeking him with everything that I have, all this happiness that I would have actually is bound to joy. That actually, that I know that no matter what, I'm anchored into this rock, okay, of joy that is of the Lord, okay? And what better way of being able to, in even in using that analogy of being anchored into the rock, okay, knowing that no matter what storms are taking place in your life, you may be all over the place, but you're not going to drift away. You're not going to crash into the rock and every, or into the shoreline and everything. But you're actually anchored into that joy of the Lord. And as a result of that, knowing that no matter what, he's going to take care of you. Now, what ends up taking place, remember, we're just soldiers in a sense, always in training, always learning more about what it is I need to do. You know, you go out the very first time in the field in the military in a war zone, you're going to learn a lot of new experiences you haven't had before. And every time you go out, you're going to learn something so that you have these experiences to be able to help you then that very next time that you go out.
Amen.
That you don't maybe make the errors that could be fatal in a certain sense. Same thing here. The more often that we end up going out in a sense of trusting God and being a part of things that he wants us to be a part of, instead of being exclusive, we become inclusive, saying, yeah, ask me, Lord, call on me, take me, here I am.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, Galatians 5 comes to mind as the scriptures talk about literally the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit that indwells in the believer. When you they list the fruits of the Spirit, love is the first one, and the second one is joy. Of all the fruits of the Spirit, love first, we know that's the number one, and the next one is joy. And then there's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. This is different than the divisions of anger and rivalries, strife, jealousy, and all of that. Those are the things that it seems like we find ourselves going to because we think that's how we find our happiness, if I get that. But to find that that really what the fruit looks like and the second characteristic being that of joy, starting with love, we really have to embrace that and look and say, how do I get that? How do I get there? And that's that journey, isn't it?
Go ahead and pull that up again on the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
You didn't say the very last one.
The last one is faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control.
Self-control.
Yeah, last one is self-control.
So, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about how does self-control have any bearing on having joy in the Lord?
Fair enough.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Every life is unique. Every life has a purpose. So when it comes time to remember the life of a loved one who has passed on, Cascade Monuments can help memorialize that special loved one through a personally designed monument. Cascade Monuments can engrave stones with the image of a person's face, majestic mountain scenes, sailboats, and more. Some monuments even contain built-in solar-powered video screens, and at the push of a button, a video montage will reveal the loved one's life. Learn more by visiting CascadeMonuments.com.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul and closing moments here of talking about joy, joy-filled life, knowing that in a sense that sometimes happiness is what we always sought, but happiness was always fleeting. And I love when I get together with like-minded men. When I get together with friends, when we get together with people that we know, we sometimes we... you can't help but feel that kind of like you're fluttering your heart saying, it's good to see these guys. It's good to be with this person.
Yes.
You know, I love getting together like this. But see, that is happiness, okay, which is okay when it's connected to that joy of the Lord, knowing that, hey, the Lord is actually the one that brought us together. And he's in the center of all things in this relationship. I believe when the Lord's in the center of everything that we do, okay, just like it says to work, do the work that you do, do it unto the Lord, okay, as if you work for the Lord. Yes, that man might write the check that you get every week or every other week, whatever it might be, but you're working unto the Lord. You're doing it so that you have opportunity as the Lord sees fit to be able to do his work with where you're at. So you do the very best that you can. And as a result of that, God's going to continue to bless you. Okay? So that now you've got the joy of the Lord. So if I have a gathering at my home, you know, it may not be with everybody I want, but I'm thankful that I have this opportunity to have a place that people can gather. And why is that? Because I can give God the praise and the glory, okay? Now, how do we get this sort of thing? Well, a lot of it drops back into our lap. Faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he talks about,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
And it means that, yes, it is about action. It's about action that we believe that the Lord wants us to take so that he is glorified.
So if we want this real joy,
yes,
there's action that we have to take that's very intentional.
Yes, okay. And that action, that's part of where I mentioned about the last one, the fruit of the Spirit, the self-control, self-discipline,
yes.
Basically the same thing. We have to discipline ourselves to do this sort of thing. We can't just wish it upon ourselves.
No, well, I'll discipline myself to get happiness, right?
Yes.
I'll make all kinds of sacrifices in the world.
To be able to get these things. But now, if we're truly wanting and hearing what the joy of the Lord is and how that can help to make me feel more purposeful and feel better about life in general, and about others that are in my life, whether I want them in my life or not, it doesn't matter. The fact is that the promise that the Scripture gives me, the Word of God, reminds me that this is all accessible to me. All I have to do is make that decision to follow Him and seek Him first and foremost above all things. How do I do that? Well, that's where we have to discipline ourselves, okay? That's where it comes with encouragement from other brothers. You can't be encouraged unless you have someone there to encourage you.
Well, amen. And the brother I was just talking to that admitted he didn't know what it looked like, my first thought was getting around people that did know what it looked like.
Yes.
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 So it was familiar instead of foreign.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Philippians 2:2 says, groups of believers who unite in demonstrating the mind, love, and purpose of Christ, bring joy to others.
Yes.
That's it in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I didn't know what that looked like until, well, I suspected, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw people going to church, they seemed happier.
Yes.
Until I was intentional with these steps you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it, I didn't see it. But the more that I sought it, the more I started to see it.
Yes.
And begin to understand it. And turned out it wasn't just this easy wham, bam, I said some magic verse, and next thing you know, all of my happiness that was temporary turned to permanent joy or something. No,
yes.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, one of the things when it comes to the self-discipline or self-control, one of the things that's so important that I believe that is necessary for me to do on a daily basis, not just once, you know, for the week or once for a lifetime, but on a daily basis, maybe even throughout the day. And that's, again, to do as he commands us, okay,
yes.
Is to seek me with everything that you have. Now, in seeking God, that means that you're going to do every means possible to try to communicate with him, stay connected with him, to be able to see whatever it is that he has in store, to
you
hear
bet.
Whatever it is he has to say.
Amen.
So in doing that I need to do that throughout the day, okay?
Yes.
Lord, you know where I'm going. I'm going to work, and I'm not looking forward to working with my coworker that I've had so many challenges with and so many problems with. I just can't stay focused at work. And if you just give me another job, Well, maybe it's not another job that God wants you to do.
No.
He may want you to go through and to deal with this with Him, with the Lord, okay? Knowing that, yeah, you can do all things in through Christ who strengthens you. He's going to give you everything that you need to be able to do, to go through that. And as a result of that, we may become a better person. We may not get what we want, but see, that's the deal.
Well,
we got to battle ourselves with that. We got to die to self.
Yeah,
it's not about us getting our way because by knowing the Lord.
But
it's about knowing
how to do it.
Yeah,
in the end, we usually do. In that, we find that joy and that experience if we trust in Him, like you're saying.
Right. But we have to get to that place of actually getting there and realizing. And that's where when we can actually learn from our own experiences that the longer I know when I get in the way of things. I know when I'm attempting to do my will and not God's will.
Yeah, we do.
And sometimes I try to justify my will saying, I believe this is God's will.
I know.
I've said that often at times just to get people off my back, saying, I believe this is what God wants me to do. And so, you know, well, I always ask the question, if you were to come up to me and say something like that to me, I'd say, well, you never asked me to pray about that for you. Have you had other brothers pray for you about that? You know,
yes.
I mean, do I not? I mean, that's part of the accountability. That's the iron sharpening iron right there.
Amen.
Yet we need that in our lives. Because,
we do.
See, if we try to do this on our own, we can justify just about anything.
I think so.
And as a result of that,
oh,
so I need to be seeking the Lord throughout every moment of the day.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So part of that is, okay, here I am, getting into seeking the Lord, whether it be through His Word, whether it be through prayer, or just crying out, in a sense, spending time acknowledging Him, saying thank you to Him for the things that He is giving you. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a job, that I have all my fingers at work that I need here at work to be able to do this job, to get paid, to be able to supply finances so I can take care of the responsibilities that I have.
Yes.
Okay? Now, as a result of that, I need to give Lord thanks for that. Okay? Because He's the one truly that brought me out of that muck and mire that I was in at one time in my life. Or in that place of confusion. That could still be considered the muck in the mire, okay? Whatever that might be. It doesn't mean that you have to have been thrown in a hole, you know, and you're about ready to die and all that. No, sometimes guys look at it that way. No, sometimes we're heading down a path that's going to lead us into that pit.
And we know it usually.
Yeah, sometimes we do, yes.
I mean, I've heard so many testimonies from brothers that said that while they were in sin and not focused on the truth, they knew they weren't. So it goes back to trust and then being intentional about it.
Okay. Right? Yep. So prayer is important.
First one.
We need to
First
be
thing.
Able to communicate with Him, right?
Amen.
And being able to get across there. Getting into His Word, coming to the knowledge of the Lord. Okay, if you don't have a Bible, a means of reading the Word of God on a daily basis, you've got to put something like that in your life. If you don't have one, there's someone in your life that does, and if you ask them, they might share with you an idea that might work for you. Yes, can you go through and just be able, just don't open up the Bible. I mean, yeah, that could be okay at times. But that's
the number one thing. How many of us have said, oh, I opened the, and I didn't understand it? Man,
well,
if a guy can't even read, get it on tape, something.
I think the key is that if you want to be discipled, okay, the best way is to allow the best discipler to disciple you. That would be Jesus. And where better than in the New Testament, in the Gospels,
Amen.
That you will find out what the Lord is wanting to say to you than being there on a daily basis, going through. And it doesn't have to start off with Matthew. You can go to the book of John. The Gospel of John is a good one to start off with.
It is.
You know, and then jump over to Luke if you want to, then Mark and then Matthew, whatever. But I'm telling you, getting into His Word is so, so important. And I think another one that is so important is to get involved. Get involved in, man, this is instead of being just a fan in the stands and clapping and cheering how, hey, this is going on, and oh, look at what's going on, that's so bad, they need to have somebody take care of that. Get involved.
Get on the playing field.
Get out there with others, okay? What does that look like? I don't know what that looks like. That could look like a lot of things. It could be get involved in your church and just helping out with the body of Christ that you're a part of there. You know, maybe it's part of a men's ministry and getting involved there. Maybe there's fundraisers. Maybe they're doing something in the community to be able to assist. Maybe it's about getting on a prayer team and praying for people when there's a challenge that comes in and people call other people to pray for situations. Maybe it's a matter of helping out wherever it is that the Lord lets you know. And you know what? The only way of knowing whether he's letting you know is communicating with him.
Well, you got to be seeking it. You got to be stepping out, like you say. Yes, sir.
So these are a few things that I believe that are so, so important. And I think, obviously, the one and only is continually submitting myself to him, dying to self, you know?
Yes.
And realizing just how the enemy mixes a little bit of truth with a lie.
Yes.
So that we would be able to swallow it easier sometimes and say, oh, maybe that's true. I'm really not here. This isn't going to work for me. I'm young and I've got so much life ahead of me. I want to enjoy it. Well, know this, is that enjoyment that the enemy is talking about, that's not going to work. That's just a happiness that's going to be fleeting. But have the true happiness that is connected to the joy of the Lord. And with that, you'll have an experience you've never had before in your life. Good topic, brother.
Amen.
All right. How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide the listeners to the joy that is the promises of your Scripture, and that they do it through prayer, being in your Word, and fellowshipping with others. Only then can we be on that path that you have reserved for us. And we thank you for that joy. In your precious name, amen.